If you would, go ahead and get your Bibles out, whether you have it, the Bible, the actual book, or you have it on your iPhone or your tablet. And you can go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll begin reading there in a few moments. We'll also get into chapter 12. Today represents the third week of our series, Imperfect. The whole heart of this series is that our flaws and our weaknesses will always give opportunity for God's perfect power and purpose to be at work in and through our lives. We have well established over the last couple weeks that none of us are perfect, but He is. We have failed, we have made mistakes, we were all born sinners, but because of the perfect ministry of Jesus Christ, we are made right in the sight of God. He takes care of us. He takes us in His hands. His perfect ministry at work inside of every single one of us. We will all have different issues throughout the day, the week, our lives. We have imperfect things around us. We have weaknesses. But man, thank God we have Jesus Christ, the perfect answer. The perfect answer to all of our life's issues. Over these last couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Hebrews, talking about that perfect ministry of Jesus. I so enjoyed last week as we went to Hebrews chapter 11 and we saw all those heroes of the faith and how we realized they're just like you and I, because they had some pretty colorful stories, right? They had some pretty colorful stories. But thank God for His perfect love and His perfect grace and how He places it upon our lives. And we see how they were able to rise with faith. And you and I can do the same because we are all in this same boat together. And so I'm thankful for the way that the Word of God spoke to our lives. Today, I want to transition over into Corinthians. Of course, the author is the Apostle Paul. This is his second letter to the church. And to help us have a little bit further understanding here, it's important to note that the passage that I'm going to be reading from today is just a smaller portion of a larger text. If you really want to get it all together, read chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13. Because what we're going to find here is Paul, in this particular section, he is addressing an issue that he has faced from the false prophets that have come against him. Because what we see here as we read through the letter, you can clearly see that the false apostles of Corinth were on the prowl. They were a constant menace to the church. Now, specifically to Paul. And why is that? Because he was the instrument in which God was using to establish the church, to train the church, to encourage the church, to correct the church, to strengthen the church. He was the instrument God was using to build those churches in this area. But they come heavily against him. They were constantly trying to bring his message down, constantly trying to present him as something being false. Their criticism of him was very influential. And as we read this, we will see it was causing many of the believers who have turned to Jesus, it was causing many of them to turn away. That's how influential they were. Now, we obviously understand that these false apostles were not men of God. Rather, we could just call them con men. And they had a direct purpose of gaining recognition, power, and wealth. There was nothing inside of these individuals that was trying to present people to a better way. They certainly had no relationship with God. They did not know the power of God. They had not been transformed by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was not within them. They had a false message, and their false message was specifically designed that people would look to them, give them favor, and because of that, they could grow in their authority, they could grow in their influence, and mainly, they could deepen their pockets. That's what these individuals were doing. With their lies being spread with unfortunate success, Paul is placed in a position of having to defend himself, which we easily see in this letter. Now, Paul, he's identifying himself as the true ambassador of Christ, that he was the one who was sent to minister to the church of Corinth. Now, I gather from his writing, he does not really like to boast of himself. As we read this passage together, you can even hear kind of the struggle as he presents this. Now, thank God we know that he writes this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that led him to write this, because all word is good for us, right? It is infallible in every single way. So even though we're getting a lot of emotion from Paul as he writes this, we see this struggle of having to defend himself, but the Holy Spirit prompts him to do so because the people need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth of who he is. They need to hear the truth of the power of the Holy Spirit. They need to hear the truth of the gospel, because that's the only way their lives were going to be changed. So if these false prophets were going to rise up against him, now he's going to rise back up against them in the power of God, and he is going to put them in their place, right? And church, we got to be careful today, because there's false prophets among us today, right? There are false teachers, and I want to be careful with my words, but I got to tell you, there are lots of individuals who would just love to deepen their pockets, and that's why they would venture off into ministry in the church world and things of that nature. Can I tell you, it's all about Jesus Christ. It is not about a man. It is not about a woman. It is all about Jesus Christ. I recently read an article about a pastor of a mega church who resigned his position because he heard his name mentioned more than the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Boy, I read that and I thought, praise God, that is a standard that I want to live by. If Steve Lee's name gets mentioned more than Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, man, that's my cue to get on down the road, because it's not about a pastor. It's not about Steve Lee. It's all about what Jesus Christ wants to do in your lives. Amen. So Paul, he's having to come up against just this constant attack against the gospel, against him. And so we find himself under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, having to defend himself. We're going to see how he reveals his spiritual highs and his spiritual lows that he has experienced thus far along his journey. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin reading in verse number 16. It says, I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. Now I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposed. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to fall and I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall, and I escaped his hands. Let's continue on as Paul continues his discourse here in chapter 12. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, and I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should, I wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So he has to say what the Holy Spirit has driven him to say, But again, you can see kind of this struggle in his words, even as he writes in his letter of how he goes back and forth, and he wants them to understand that when I'm boasting here, it's boasting as a fool and not as God would boast. But he is having to speak this because of what the Holy Spirit has prompted him to write. Then he says in verse 7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, Paul gives some great insight to what he's up against. Certainly the imperfection and the weaknesses and the failures of others, but also his himself. Now, in this passage, and I thought it was important to put that together because there's even more around it that we can put together. It kind of leads us to that part that many times becomes a discussion for people, and that is that thorn that was in his flesh. Because when you read through this, you have to see that this all has to do with that thorn that is in his flesh. Now, over the years, many of people have tried to figure out what that is. We'll look at that here in just a moment. But for certain this morning, I can tell you this. Paul's thorn reminds us all that our life's journey, all of our life's journey, it will consist of difficulties and trials and hardships that we are unable to remove. And for some of those, God chooses not to remove as well. Think about that for a moment, okay? This statement does not mean that God does not care. This statement does not mean that we cannot live a victorious life in Christ. For when we read the Word of God, when we read of His promises, when we read of His faithfulness, when we sing of His goodness, we certainly understand that God cares. He even says, "Cast all of your anxieties upon me, for I care for you." He loves us beyond measure. And he brings us through much. How many can give testimony this morning? And I'm going to warn you, the first service wasn't ready for this. How many can give testimony this morning that God has been good to you and he has given you much over these years? Amen? Amen. That makes me feel a little better. 90% of you here, that's good, all right? That's way better than the first service. The first service, I thought, I need to walk off the stage because I'm in the midst of holiness. All right. So I was like, "Lord, keep me anointed in that moment and keep me anointed here in this moment." He has brought us through so much, from things that were out of our control and for a lot of things that were in our control. He has brought us through so much. So this statement simply reveals the imperfections of this life, and it's how we should respond to them. So now we have that question. What was the thorn? Well, the answer I'm going to give you this morning, we do not know for certain, for the Word of God does not reveal it to us that specifically. Now, many over the years, philosophers, theologians, pastors, people, they have given their opinion. Some have stated it as being a constant earache. Others have said that it was a constant headache, possibly caused by malaria. Others have said that it was his poor eyesight, because Paul mentions that later on in one of his letters to the churches. Others have said, and they have said, that the thorn represents all the pain that Paul has suffered from his ongoing trials and his persecutions, that that's what the thorn was. Well, I'm not certain, so I will simply just present those possibilities to you and not give you a direct answer, but I do lean towards the part of that constant suffering and that persecution in which he faced. Now, why do I lean towards that? Because as we read through Scripture, we find just about every single place that Paul goes, he is met with some type of opposition. Opposition that was stirred up by Satan himself. As he presented the message, then Satan sent someone present an opposite message. They presented him as a liar. And we see all the things that took place in his life constantly because Satan was always stirring this up. That certainly could be a thorn in your flesh. Again, even in saying that, I cannot say specifically what that thorn was. But I want you to think about it this way this morning when you think about that thorn. The reason for us not knowing the very specifics of it could very well be for each one of us to be able to relate with what Paul is saying. You see, if we came down and we said, oh, it was an earache, perhaps only those with constant earaches would really be able to relate with what Paul is saying. Maybe if we said, oh, it was a headache from, you know, malaria, maybe those who have had to suffer something like that would say, you know, I can really relate that. With others would say, well, I've never really had that, so, you know, I'm just not quite there. Others would say, oh, it's the eyesight. You know, I've got poor eyesight. I can really relate to what Paul is saying. Now, certainly you can do that in all those situations, but perhaps the reason why we don't know the specifics is because the specific doesn't matter. What matters is that we can all relate with Paul that we have to go through life with a thorn in our flesh. That there is something there, that there is some kind of trial, there is some type of heartache. Sometimes it's for a season. Like Paul, he had to live with it for the remainder of his life. You and I too, I'm going to venture out to say there are some things that we don't want to live with, but it's going to be a constant thorn. And that thorn is there to do what? To remind us of God's grace, to remind us of his power, to remind us that we will not boast in ourselves, boast in our accomplishments, boast in our words, boast in how good we are, boast in how long we've loved the Lord, but we will boast and boast alone in Jesus Christ. That every time I think about that thing that there that just kind of bothers me. Now, I heard a funny story in between service. We was talking about family and someone said, your mother-in-law, that's the thorn in your flesh. Now, don't take the message the wrong way here, okay? Sometimes it can be people. Obviously, it could. Please don't go home and say, Pastor said, that's right, he confirmed, my mother-in-law is a thorn in my flesh. Do not do that. But we have those thorns or that thorn to remind us of the power of Jesus Christ and the grace that he places in our lives. Sometimes we just have to keep it there. Think about this. Instead of removing the trial and pain, God is going to give Paul the strength to endure. Now, what did the scripture say? Three times he prayed for it to be removed. Did God hear his prayer? Absolutely. Did God love Paul? Absolutely. Did Gaul take care of him? Absolutely he did. I mean, he helped him pick himself up all the time. Through all that he had been through, God was with him, right? He prayed three times for it to go away, and it did not go away. Think about this. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed three times for the cup to pass from him. Three times he prayed and said, Father, if there's another way, then let's do this a different way. I don't want you to have to be separated from me at all. I know I'm going to bear the sin of the world upon my back. I will gladly go to the cross. I just don't want to be separated from you for those few moments and times. Three times Jesus himself prayed for that to be taken away. But the answer God said is no, you're going to have to go through this. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes we've got to carry things with us through life. But what I really want you to see here, he will always give us the grace and the strength that we need to endure. That's the message here, right? Instead of removing the trial and the pain, God would give Paul and Jesus the strength to endure, something that he certainly will do for every single one of us. You see, God's perfect plan, his purpose, and his power, it's going to work in our lives. Those that will seek him, those that will trust him, even in the midst of our imperfections, in our weaknesses, in our thorns in which we carry, his perfect work will work in our lives. Church, nowhere in Scripture does God promise that we are never going to have some difficulties in our lives. Nowhere does he promise there's not going to be trials, pain, thorns, whether that's in a relationship, in a marriage, with your children, with your health, with your finances, your job, your career. None of us are exempt from the imperfections of this world. None of us are exempt from the things that try to work against us. None of us are exempt from even ourselves doing things that causes these things to come upon our lives. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we will not ever have any of this, but it does say there is a promise, and we have just read the promise that when we have those things in our lives that we have to go through, He will give us the grace and the perfect strength to always endure in those times. His promise. We see it. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Well, the weaker I see myself, the more I rely upon Him. The weaker I feel inside, that's the more I call upon Him. And I keep believing and I keep trusting and I keep reading this scripture and I keep fellowshipping with believers of like faith. And I keep enduring. Why? Because God's grace, it's working inside of me and His strength is perfect. We can certainly see from Paul's writings, man, this transformation that's taken place inside of his life, how he's been empowered, even in his own weaknesses and his failures and his trials, we see that he understands the power of God's grace at work. Now consider the statement Paul makes after revealing God's promise of sufficient grace and that his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. It says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, Paul says, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content. I'm content with those weaknesses, those insults, those hardships, those persecutions, those calamities. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Why? Because that's when you're truly standing upon the foundation of Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of your life. Think about this. Our response to the thorn in our flesh. Our response to the thorn in our flesh, it's either going to continue to transform us in a powerful way, or it's going to cause everything just to fall apart. You're either going to keep being transformed, or you're going to fall apart. You're going to respond one way or the other. I mean, let's think about it. Paul could have easily walked away, right? If you and I had to go through his list, I think most of us would have stopped at the first lashing. We'd been done, right? Now, some of you are looking at me like, oh, maybe not. I might have been able to do two or three of those. Come on now. The first lashing, we'd been done. One shipwreck is enough for a lifetime. I don't need three. When you look at all that Paul had to do, he could have easily walked away with that. But every time he was continued to be transformed. How many times was he beaten and left outside the city gate to be left as dead? How many times did he say that he was stoned? All the things that happened to him constantly. He could have easily said, it's too much. I'm done. It's over. I'm not going any further. But instead of allowing it to impact him in such a way, he said, all right, the more I go through, the more powerful he is. The more I go through, the more greater the testimony. The more I have to deal with here on earth, when the more greater the faith is going to be inside of me as I keep trusting in the Lord, right? Paul could have easily walked away, but he did not, because he knew God's grace is sufficient. And as we think about that here this morning, I just got to tell you, I think the mandate I have to give to you today, no matter what it is that you're in life right now, His grace is sufficient, and His strength is perfect. And you and I, we better embrace it. If not, we got a long road ahead of us, right? His grace is sufficient. When I was writing this message, and I thought about this too when I was presenting it earlier in the early service, and I'm always cautious to give this type of opinion because I don't mean for it to come across judgmental. It's just something I feel in my heart. So it's like we're in the living room together and I'm talking with you right now. Sometimes I get concerned about the state of the church, because I think running after Jesus for us means that we think that everything's just always going to be rosy and okay. And that I'm always going to be inspired. I'm always going to be encouraged. And everything's always going to be right. And it's going to always end up perfect. And there's always going to be a happy ending. And everything's just going to fall in place. And that's how it's going to be. And if we don't see that, or if we don't sense that, or if the service is not like that, or if the message is not like that, or if the worship is not like that, we'll go find us another place to worship until we can find something that fits that kind of fairy tale story. And I don't want to just give you a fairy tale story this morning. I want to give you something real. This old world is imperfect. And there's a lot of junk out there. You and I are imperfect, and we have to deal with a lot of foolishness and a lot of foolish decisions, even on our own part. There's a lot of stuff in there that causes us to have hardship is reality. Thorns are reality. Some of those things, obviously, are not going to be removed, because if God didn't remove it from Paul, he's certainly not going to remove all of our thorns as well. So what we have to do is not run to the next feel-good meeting. What we have to run to is run to Jesus with an honest and a transparent faith that says, I do not like where I'm at. I do not like this thorn. God, I'm going to ask you 4 times. Please take it away from me. I may even ask you 5 times, but as long as it's still there, I'm still going to serve you. And as long as it's still going to be there, I'm just going to say, that's your answer. My faith, may it grow even stronger. That thorn reminds me I need you. That thorn reminds me I need your promise. I need your faithfulness. I need your goodness. I need the truth of your word. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to be reignited from day to day. I need to be renewed. I need to be transformed. I need you. I am weak. I am foolish. I am imperfect, but you are not. So it is your perfect strength that I want flowing inside of my life. I will have a mind of peace because Jesus is in me. I will have joy because Jesus is in me. I will walk in victory because Jesus is within me. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have scars. Because how many know we've all got scars? It'd be fun and it'd be awkward if we all started showing our scars right now, right? We'd be, I got one bigger. I got one like, oh, wait a minute. I don't want to see that, Uncle Bob. Leave that one alone, all right? Okay. We've all got scars. On the outside, we've all got scars on the inside. I need him. I need his power. I don't know how people can go without going to church all the time and being around people of like faith. I don't know how people can be hit and miss with church. I don't know how people can be hit and miss in their serving and their giving and their loving and their worship. I don't know how people can be so flippant if they really know who Jesus is. I need Jesus every single day in my life to guide me, lead me, help me, empower me. I need him. Amen. I need this. I need you. I need us to come together and worship and allow God to move. We need God to move among us. Amen. We need him. When we call out those things, our weaknesses and our imperfections, the more we call that out, the more grace we realize is upon us. Man, his grace. Where would any of us be without his grace, without his strength? I know without his grace and his strength, there is no way that I ever want to enter into this sanctuary. I need him. Amen.